Welcome to the Catholic Link podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams, and I am joined today by Father George Elliott. Hello, Father George.
Hello, Father Rob. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. This is our last episode of our June sequence, and we'll get into that in a second. But before that, I believe Father George has something to say about our Facebook situation over at Catholic Link.
That is right. So, unfortunately, you may have already heard about it, but on Mother's Day, of all days, some child of God, or AI, chose to steal our Facebook page. And so this is a Facebook page with over 200,000 followers that was built up over 12 years, and it was stolen. While our media director, who is a mother, was on her way to church, and we have turned in all of the paperwork to Facebook multiple times to have the page returned to us, and Facebook once has said, we even confirmed with them, is this all of the correct paperwork? I said, yes. We sent it all in, and they just said, this problem has not been resolved and the case has been closed. It's the first one. So we're like, well, let's try this again. And so we went in again, and the response was that our account has not been compromised, whereas it clearly has been compromised. It now is AI generated Jesus faces posted again and again, and they deleted all of our old content. They changed the name of the page to Heavenly Horizons. And it's just really tacky and frustrating. But you know what? We are resilient. Christians are resilient. Jesus Christ reigns. And so we are continuing to fight. And we have started a new Facebook page because Meta is not going to kick us off of their platform. I can't get Christianity out of the public sphere. And so we just ask everybody, first off, to go find the Catholic Link English Facebook page and like and follow and comment on posts and share them. If you really want to be awesome, you can go in and there's an easy way to invite up to 1,000 followers a day, 1,000 of your friends to follow the page every day. So if you'd go in and do that, that is a huge help to us to continue to build it up, and just a way to show Meta that, you know what, Catholics matter and they can't just ignore us. Also, we are pushing a hashtag that is Catholics Matter Meta. So if you can use that hashtag, we're trying to get it to trend as much as possible because, we are not the only ones that this has happened to. This has happened to other pages as well. And we are probably not going to be the last, unfortunately. Mm. Also, we are doing a giveaway for anybody who joins our Facebook page or who joins our email subscriber list, right? Subscriber lists can't be stolen by AI or Meta or whoever was behind it. And so we're asking people to join that so that, we can really have some solid traffic that won't be stolen. Because you know what? The gospel has to continue to be preached no matter what happens. And so thanks, everybody. Please pray for us. Pray for our social media director. She's a saint and she is hustling to rebuild that Facebook page. And please go over to Catholic Link English on Facebook and like our new page. Thanks so much.
Oh, man, that's a doozy.
Yeah, I felt really bad for Marianne, our director. Like that woman, she's killing it, though. She's doing a great job.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, speaking of online stuff, this is our episode about, I don't know, what I want to talk about, wherein I rant about things. And one of the things I've had come up for me a lot as a priest is what I call the WebMD phenomenon.
What do you mean by that?
Well, so I have a lot of doctors in my parish. A lot of doctors because of our proximity to the hospital. And the doctors will all tell me, almost all of them will say, one of the biggest frustrating things about the way things are now is when people get sick, they don't call the doctor first. They go on WebMD and they do their own research. Now, you'd think this would be good because now the patient is sort of armed with a little bit of information and we can skip a lot of steps. The problem is patients don't know how to interpret that information, right? That's what a doctor does. They know how to interpret data and information and fit it into a way of thinking that gets you to the answer you need, right? Mm. So a doctor can take my blood, run the test, see the numbers, and know if those numbers are good or bad and what to do about that, right? On my own, I can pull up what normal levels of things in blood are, which is interesting, right? But without being a medical professional, I'm not going to know that, well, your family history says that this one number is going to be a little high. It is high, but that's not something you should worry about. Or this number is low, and that's really, really bad, right? So one of the things—
I've never actually thought about it, but I think there's a parallel to really any of the Protestant denominations as well, right? Where, you know, there are people who they go grab a Bible and they're like, well, look, this passage in the Bible says this, mm-hmm. so it must be this, right? But it needs to be interpreted is really what you're saying, right? Then the doctor's job is to be able to interpret well, mm-hmm. just like the church's job is to be able to interpret the scriptures well.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I think that it's not just the scriptures. This is where I'm going with all this. It's sort of how to be a Catholic. We have, and it's not clericalist to say it, but we do have professionals. We have our pastors. We have our bishops. We have our priests. We have pastors in the Catholic Church who help us interpret, right? So one thing I've run into a lot is a lot of very good, well-meaning Catholics will get on and they'll get on Catholic Answers. I want to think they get on Catholic Link, but probably not. And they're very quick to say, well, Father, this thing is wrong and here's why. And you say, yeah, I understand what you mean, but there's these three other things in the background that you don't know about, right? Or yeah. Sometimes there's information I morally can't share with you.
Yeah.
And so I don't just want to complain about this. I actually kind of want to diagnose it a little bit, but I do want to point out that while it's really, really good that there's a lot of Catholic resources online, that's not the same thing as having a pastor or a spiritual father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think from just the education point of view, this isn't the case for all priests, but I mean, Father Rob, how many years of seminary plus additional priest studies did you have? Like, how many years did you go to college?
The whole package was 9 years.
Yeah, same. I think it kind of strikes people where it's like, you know, most surgeons don't go to school for 9 years. And when they think about that, they're like, oh, that's right. Like, you know, lawyers don't go to school for 9 years. Rocket scientist, you can get multiple doctorates in 9 years, and that's, you know, depending on what you're studying,
right?
And that's, you know, that doesn't strike most people that it's like, oh, they've studied like a lot. Now, granted, you know, there are different seminaries for different purposes, and yeah, some of them it's kind of like, all right, you know what, these guys are not big intellectuals. We're just going to let them kind of we're gonna make sure they know what they need to do to run a parish.
Yep,
and that's it. But you know, there are other seminaries that are, you know, advanced institutions.
Yep.
I think
you're really getting to something very real. And that's why this happens. So I don't blame people because they're evil. I think what we're dealing with is a lack. So a lot of people, I mean, and for a lot of the last 40 years in the church, there has been no teaching about what it is to be Catholic.
Mm.
And for a long, long time, their pastors just didn't know.
Yeah.
And so people felt that onus to sort of like, well, I have to learn myself. If my pastor is generally untrustable, if the state of the church writ large is generally untrustable, I have to be the one to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely can see a lot of that. In who tend to be the better formed Catholics, mm-hmm. and the ones who are more concerned about the state of the church and about doing what ought to be done.
Mm-hmm. And that's all good. That's all good. But I do think it is really good to learn to trust your pastor.
Right. Well, it's for multiple reasons, right? Or yeah, just in general, like there's just a certain amount of trust that needs to go towards our leaders. Like, I mean, I can even think of myself towards my bishop. Right now, I don't have a bishop, but you know, your bishop is definitely a controversial figure.
Yeah.
In a variety of his decisions, as is my past one, right? And, you know, there's a certain amount of trusting that when they tell us something or they tell us to do something that unless it is clearly wrong, we just need to do it. And you know what? If it's wrong, well, it falls on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
It's sort of like that sense of obedience, not like a lockstep, but a heart of obedience.
Yes.
And I say, I never thought I would be the one saying this about me. Like I want people to listen to me this way, but we've had some really delicate situations in the parish and I do think I know what I'm doing. I'm always open to being brought around, but I do think I know what I'm doing. And I've had to tell a lot of really good, well-meaning Catholics, well-formed Catholics, you know, you are going to have to trust me here. You are going to have to trust me here. That's fine. But what I found is a little frustrating is when you say that, that's sort of the end of the discussion. And I'm willing to help you get to see why I do what I do. But I sometimes people want you to walk premise by premise through an argument with them. And you're like, I don't feel that I always have to do that. And I think it's better for you as a member of the faithful to not feel like it's your job to put everyone on trial.
Yeah. And, you know, even kind of connected to that, when you talked about like premise by premise, having to walk them through it, at least in my experience in, you know, as a pastor and I'm the pastor of five churches, and a high school, and you know, there are a lot of complex situations in which we're constantly weighing, pastoral situations. What is the ideal that we're aiming for? What's most important right now? What are the resources that we have in, you know, finances, facilities, people, you know, all of these different things. And there are a lot of prudential judgments that have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, yes, I know this is not the absolute ideal situation, but we're living in a very fallen world and in a very restricted situation as far as resources go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're just going to have to trust me. Or this is a situation that none of us have been in before. You know, I have to make a decision. And is it the right decision? Like, man, I think it is, but I don't know. Because that there are so many complex issues. But I can tell you that it's going to fail if nobody follows.
Yeah,
and that isn't good for anyone.
Exactly. Exactly. And I also like to, I also want to remind people sometimes, you know, especially nowadays, I think a lot of people have a priest in their parish who, for better or for worse, is aware that he will have to account for his stewardship before Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think most of the guys who don't care have left.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not to say they're perfect, and I don't mean that, but I do think, you know, sometimes I want my parish to kind of, I wish I could like open up a little window into my mind and to be like, I really do worry about the account of my stewardship that I'll have to give. And I think, but I also think on that note, you know, we have to remember that Christ gives us the parable of the talents for a reason, you know, that the talents are entrusted to someone. And if we're too afraid to do anything because it's not perfect or because it might fail or because we might make a mistake, or even I dare to say, we're afraid that we'll sin. We're still going to be punished for not doing anything.
Right. A decision has to be made and the person in the leadership position has to make the decision.
Exactly. Exactly. So I guess my moral of the story for our listeners is, definitely encourage your pastors to be Catholic. like when they do something awesome, like when they have a, when they have a really good sermon, or they have the rosary, or they do a Corpus Christi procession, or whatever, you know, when they do, that was me, when they do something Catholic, or they do something that, that builds up the faith, be sure to let them know that you appreciate it, because, you know, you hear a lot of negativity as a priest, and it's good to have people get excited when you do the right thing. You know, that, that encourages that behavior. But on the other side, when you see something that's a little bit off, you know, you can talk to your priest about it. Absolutely. You can talk to your bishop about it. But I would also just encourage you to kind of be docile in the sense of like being willing to learn, being willing to trust, being willing to, you know, as long as you're not asked to do something overtly sinful, you know, father wants you to drive somebody to an abortion clinic. Well, you know, don't do that, but, do that. You know, I would say let's sort of err on the side of trusting and kindness, because I do think that's more beneficial for our own souls, but also for the work of the church.
Yeah. And to give just a very clear and concrete kind of structure for how to do that. There have been a few times that I've had just like good faithful people come up to me and say like, hey, Father, so my understanding is this, this, and this. And I say like, okay, yeah. And then they say, okay, so why was it okay that we did this? Or why is it that we're planning on doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be like, oh yeah, good point. Let me explain the whole context here. Or let me explain, you know, how, yes, as a generalization, this, you know, second point that you made is true, but there's this, you know, nuance here that needs to be made. And that's why like this one happens to just kind of like this
is why this particular decision.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they clearly approached the conversation in a situation in which they disagreed with the decision that I had made based on their understanding. But because of how they approached it and because they asked the question, it actually gave me the opportunity either to say like, oh, wow, no, you're right. And I need to change, or like, oh, let me explain this to you. And so, you know, either way, no matter how the conversation went out, either I was able to teach them a little bit more, or I actually corrected myself, you know,
yep.
Which is, you know, so everybody, you know, it's going to win if you go at it that way. But if you come up to your priest and you're like, hey, you know, I saw a blog on this and you're wrong. It's like, well, now there's no good way for this to end, you know.
And the way I try to end those conversations is I like to ask people, you know, do you want to be helped?
Uh-huh.
Like Jesus.
Very disarming question.
Yeah. Do you want to see?
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by it a lot, it's not that I'm angry at you. I mean I generally feel nothing at this point. But it's something I didn't know when I was a young priest. And that was, sometimes when people come up to you, they don't want a resolution to the problem.
Mm.
And if you engage, you're only going to start a fight, you know? So if people come up to you and they're presenting a laundry list of everything you do wrong, you say, okay, I'd be happy to talk about that. Are you wanting to be helped? And then, I mean, I've had people get so mad, they say, I don't even know. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, well, go figure that out, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I just mean that in terms of like this, just general charity. But I do think it's, you know, there's a reason Jesus asked the blind man, "Do you want to see?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see?" Because if you want to pontificate, it's a different thing. If you want to see, that's a whole separate issue. But be nice to your priest. That's the long and short of what I think we're saying. Be nice to your priest and build them up in the faith, because Lord knows they need it. But this has been the Catholic Link podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams. I was grateful to be joined by Father George Elliott. Thanks so much, Father George.
Great to be on. Thanks for having me, Father.
You can find all of our materials over on catholiclink.org. And I encourage you to go check that out. And like Father George said, make sure to share our hashtag Catholics Matter Meta, or what is it? Meta Catholics Matter.
You got it right the first time.
Okay.
Catholics Matter Meta.
Catholics Matter Meta. Go join that and help build up our social media presence. Until next time, thanks so much, and God bless you.